Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for the GizWiz is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. It's time for the GizWiz with Mad's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 1441, recorded November 5th, 2013. The balls must roll. The GizWiz is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/GizWiz. And by Lynda.com. Learn what you want when you want with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit Lynda.com/GizWiz. That's Lynda.com/GizWiz. And now, get ready for Dick! Like Cinderella, like Sleeping Beauty, like Snow White, I like to begin each and every day with a song.
It's the same dumb show with Dickie D and Leo LaPorte on Twit TV. It's time for the GizWiz because gadgets are his business. They've got a gizmo sickness, geek disease,
a nerd pathology,
rows and rows of USBs, growing blue and LEDs. Get ready for the GizWiz now.
Now! It's the same dumb show.
Ah! Oh, and the same dumb thing.
Oh. Wow. Whoa. What?
Remember, remember, the 5th of November.
Whoa.
V is for... victory.
Viceroys. Okay. Wow.
Vim, vigor, and varnish. We are legion.
Those are my attorneys.
Yeah. There is more to that poem, isn't there? Remember, remember the 5th of November. Shall I recite the entire thing?
No.
Too late.
Who's doing your makeup? It's a little on the heavy side.
You know, Chad or somebody, who has a ceramic one of these? Oh, maybe Renee Ritchie. Remember, the 5th of November. I will read you the entire poem. It's about Guy Fawkes Night, ladies and gentlemen. And here it is. Don't you remember the 5th of November? 'Twas Gunpowder Treason Day. I left off my gun and made them all run and stole their bonfire away. The 5th of November, since I can remember, was Guy Faux. Poke him in the eye, shove him up the chimney pot, and let him die. A stick and a stake for King George's sake. If you don't give me one, I'll take two. The better for me and the worse for you. Rickety-racket shall your hedges go.
And so this is what your mom read to you when you were in the crib? It could explain a lot.
I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah.
Has to do with Guy Fawkes, of course, who was a revolutionary, attempted to blow up Parliament unsuccessfully in 1805, and it is the commemoration of Guy Fawkes Day. And I guess what it is, they commemorate the fact that he failed to blow up Parliament, and they burn him in effigy in Great Britain. They have a big bonfire, and they burn the guy, they call him. And I don't know why this has anything to do with that. Is it from V for Vendetta, I think, because of that, right?
Oh, I thought it was for Vaseline for the burns. I'm not sure. Not quite sure.
The gunpowder plot. Did I say 1805? 1605. I stand corrected. 1805, that was the bicentennial of the gunpowder plot.
I have to change my calendar again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So how are you, Dickie D? Has winter come to the fair city of New York?
Wait, say again?
Has winter come to the...
Well, during the weekend was really cold, like in the 50s and 40 at night. That's cold enough for me.
Okay.
So I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah, but it's going to get colder. You know that, right? You've been there before.
Yeah. I guess. But I don't have to stand for it.
No sirree, Bob Height. Yeah, have you ever heard that expression before?
No. No siree, Bob Height.
I don't know what that means.
Why don't we just change this to information, please? Welcome to information, please.
It may not mean anything. It may just be something my mother said. And you know Mom. And
yeah, she has a lot to answer for.
She has a lot to answer for. I don't know where the Bob Height came from. I think he was the plumber in Providence. And she said it because she didn't want him to come fix our plumbing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
There is a no-siree Bob.
And that meant?
Bill says, do you want to sell this old rocking chair? Jane says, no-siree Bob. And Bill says, you don't want sweet potatoes, do you? And Fred says, no-siree. Says it right here on the internet.
Wow. This is the first time I think the internet has become worthless.
But I don't know where.
Usually, up till now, I thought everything on it was really.
I don't know where the
important.
Bob Height came from. I'll have to ask Mom.
I don't know. Ask Mom.
Yeah. So,
yes.
You never owned an iPad, have you?
I never have owned an iPad. No, you know, I'm happy
Why
with
not?
Android.
Are you tempted in any way?
No. You know what? It drives me crazy. You know, I like Amazon. I like Amazon Music. So when you just get a new device, it just says, do you want to play your music from the cloud or would you like to download all your music to this device? And I go, all right, this device. No. Well, wait a minute. You have to deauthorize, go home, find another device, deauthorize. All that just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like giving them $500.
I know, you know.
I don't.
That makes sense.
You're saying the iPad is so urgently needed?
No. That's the irony of it. This thing, which they've sold 170 million of, and the new one came out this week, is why I ask, is not in any way needed by anyone. It's one of it's a category, a new class of technology that is unnecessary but cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do.
Pretty
Absolutely.
Much like every single thing we talk about on this show.
That is
and on this network, for that matter. I mean, I don't blame you, Dick. It's what we do.
Unnecessary. Well, look at how many people you suck it in to watch.
Shiny gadgets. So give us a couple of why not you right off the top.
Okay, well, you know what? The first one is not a gadget, but it's a fascinating service. In July and August, there are a ton of shows for the press about things to give for Christmas. And at one of the shows, this person suggested a gift certificate from Target to Yes Video, where you could take old media and digitize it. So I look on there, and it says 8mm, and I called them up, and I said, I have some 8mm stuff. You can transfer it. And they said,
Whoa.
Absolutely.
That's but you Leah, in the boat? You look fabulous.
But then I called back and I said to the guy, you know, I'm talking the old Kodak plastic reel, 8mm film. I'm not talking because there was 8mm video. And he said, no, we will transfer 8mm movies from the Kodachrome days. And then I explained I had a special one that was narrated by Gene Rayburn.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. And that Arlene Francis is in it and Van Johnson. And the guy said, hang on. We'll do this for free. We want to see this movie.
Oh, that's so
anyway,
cool.
So I may play part of it on GizFizz. I can't hear because all the music is copyrighted music.
Well, let's play it silently.
Well, you know, Leah, they sent a little demo reel of just spliced together different scenes from my movie. So we can just run that. There are two of them. Just runs a minute. There's Pat O'Brien is in part of the movie.
Look at this.
So the object is, it's a takeoff on 42nd Street called 242nd Street. And it's all different pieces. She comes to the city.
Write this?
I wrote it, produced it. She lives in Central.
Neat. So you, who is
I got all these people together. This is the Seagram building.
There's Arlene Francis. Wow.
These are all Goodson Todman people. This is a party that takes
place. Is that
place. You? That's me. That is
oh
me.
Oh, my God. Go back.
This is 45 years ago.
Now okay. I know why you grew the mustache.
Do I look that ugly?
No, you're adorable. And, you know, I totally recognized you right away, although you look completely different. But I just thought, I think that's Dick.
It is. It
wow.
is.
Wow.
So this is a 45...
So who shot this? Who directed it?
Okay, anybody who wasn't in the scene shot the video, okay. shot the film. This is a theater that someone's
You know,
going
Bob
on.
Heil probably know the guy who played the organ there.
You know what? He was, and just freeze to that frame if you can okay. for a second. That is, we shot that backstage at Mad Magazine. There's Betty White in the front.
Oh, yeah, Betty White. Henry wow, Morgan. Betty White with Henry dark Morgan. Hair. No, that must yes. have been 100 yes. years ago.
Exactly.
Wow. Who else?
Gene Rayburn is all the way on the left. Right next to Gene Rayburn is Peggy Cass.
Oh,
Robert
so
Q.
Young.
Lewis is standing behind.
You know, I saw the glasses and I thought it was Robert Q. Lewis. It he has those Robert distinctive Q. glasses, yeah. yeah. And who's that in the back?
That is Aimee Lane, who plays Ruby Feeler in my movie. And she works for Goodson and Todman.
Ruby Feeler.
And she worked for The Price is Right. So she got... All she got great props for us. All the furs that the
more.
Women.
Now you were mentioning the organist. Do you know who that is? The organist.
The organist. I've forgotten his name. He's deceased now. He was the movie reviewer for Time Magazine. He found out.
Not Richard Schickel.
No. You know, he called me up and he said, "So you're making this movie about? Oh, and Leo, this is that's you Downs there. This is me again."
What,
this
with the goatee? No,
that's
on
Howard
the left.
Keel. That's Howard Keel.
Howard Keel.
There. That's
You're putting
Howard
on
Keel.
His jacket. Oh,
I'm
my God.
I'm putting on his jacket.
Oh,
well,
my God.
It's a joke saying that all we had was Mickey Rooney's jacket, so we tried it on Howard Keel. And this is some more of... This is Ruby Feeler at her house, back to Central Park where she lives. And let's see, there's one more... That's Jane Withers.
Jane Withers. All right. There. Whoa, Howard, I know who that is.
Dan Johnson.
Yeah. Wow. Movie star.
Movie stars. And I think this might be sort of the end of it. Dickie D
now,
again.
Was this ever shown anywhere besides here?
Yes. Leo, we actually, there's Robert Q. Lewis
Robert Q.
Again.
Lewis. Yeah, yeah.
Right. We actually rented Delmonico's Hotel, and we had a black formal opening of the movie.
Wow.
And all of the people in it came. All the stars, Mark Goodson came. It was really an epic. And so I called the company personally. I said, you know, I'm going to send you these movies, and you'll take great care of them. And the guy said, you know, for a project like this, don't worry. It's a learning experience for us. We will actually add your soundtrack back to the digital version.
Oh, wow.
Normally, for people, we just put music behind it. But they said, this is such an oddity. We will take good care
because
of it.
Because pulling the audio off of those things is hard, probably.
Yeah. Well, they synced it up very well, better than I had done, wow. because Gene Rayburn narrates it. And anyway, so it's called Yes Video, and they can do pretty much any format. I sent in 8mm in a can. If you had one of the big cans, which is a 7-inch reel, that's $60. To do wow. one of those little 50-foot reels is $15.
Well, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Look, were you African American as a child? Because that's
just a little bit. It was too much sun. That's why I don't go out in the sun now.
You're a nice Italian boy. You got an olive skin there. Wow,
I do.
Wow,
I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
I can't. How old were you? That's 22, 20.
I was probably 20.
Wow. Yeah,
probably 20. I know.
So wait a minute. You are. You know, this is what amazes me about you, Dick. You're 20 years old.
Yes.
And you wrote and produced a movie with Van Johnson, Betty White, Betty Furness, Robert Q. Lewis. I mean, how did you have the gumption to do this?
You know, my feeling is if you get three people to say yes to, you know, it was easy to get the Goodson Todman people.
Sure.
So
you were working for
Match Game? For Match Game.
I didn't realize you started at Match Game so young.
I did. You know, I didn't go to college. I went to night cut. So right out of high school, I got into TV production.
Because you started at Mad Magazine at the age of 16.
Yeah.
So you were already a seasoned veteran of 4 years in that magazine.
And at night, I was going to Columbia University studying TV production. And one, like the third week, the instructor said, next week, we are going to an actual NBC studio. And I said, well, I work there 3 days a week, so I'm quitting this course.
I think I might know more than you do.
Exactly. Yeah, well, he did. I did go with him.
So how did you hook up with Goodson Tahmin? Because you're 16 years old. You're writing for Mad Magazine. I understand that because you submitted it and Nick Meglin or whoever it was said yes. And you know, that's freelancing. How did they get hooked up with Goodson Tahmin?
Okay. After school, in high school, after
high school, yeah.
I went to a business school where it was called Split Session. And Split Session was you started class at 8 a.m. There was no lunch hour, and you finished class. The school day was out at 1 p.m.
Right. So you could have a job.
Yeah. So I got a job for a company called Barry Enright.
Oh, I remember them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was the office boy.
That was it. They also did game shows.
They also did game shows. Yeah. I was the office boy there. And when I left there, actually, one of the producers there went over to Mark Goodson Productions, and they said, we're doing a show called The Match Game. We need somebody to write all these crazy questions. And the guy,
and you're 19.
Yeah. And Bob Knott called me and said, you want to write? I said, Bob, if it's knowledge, I'm a dead person. He said, no, it's like, you know.
Jokes. Thing, right? It's gags.
Yeah, jokey, yeah. Well, back then they were just.
It wasn't even things. Jokes then. It was just boring.
No. Name an egg, name something you do with an egg, an animal that lays an egg, eggs and blank, blank and egg. Bob used to call me in and say, do the egg file, because there was so many egg. And then, you know, from there I went into, the show got canceled, and then I did the mad thing with Goodson saying I can write silly stuff. And, yeah, so I've had a very long career starting very early.
I had no idea. But I assumed, I understood you started young at Mad. I assumed you were, you know, a grizzled seasoned veteran before you started working in television.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started writing for The Match Game?
The Match Game, I was probably 19 or 20.
Shimony. Yeah. And very quickly, you're a filmmaker. Silly. Now, did Bill Gaines, was he involved in this at all? Or?
No, nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. It was all the Goodson Tahmin staff.
I got to give a lot of credit. Was it Mark Goodson who saw the genius in you? Who was it that saw the genius in you?
Goodson was very good at saying, you know, like when they hired me for Match Game, fifth week in, Bob Noah called me in and said, listen, you're getting an enormous raise for back then. He said, you're going to get $100 a week raise.
Wow.
Because Goodson cannot believe that you are writing this many questions every
week. You know,
it's
so funny because just the other day we gave Chad $100 a week raise. So there's a lot of similarity.
Yeah, there is. Because he was only making $10 a week. So for him, that was astounding.
$100 in whatever this was, 1965 or whatever. Yeah. That was a little more money than it is today.
Yeah.
It was a lot more money. That's a pretty good raise.
Absolutely.
Holy cow. I had no idea. Credit to somebody who saw the genius in this kid, this high school kid.
Yeah.
That's really neat. So is there any way we can see this whole video?
Well, you know, I'm going to show parts of it each week on Giz Fizz.
Hoping not to get shut down each week.
Well, you know what? I had put the How 242nd Street was made up on YouTube. It took about overnight when the next day I got a thing saying, there is third-party music in your video, and please remove it immediately.
They took it down.
They took it down. Well, they
so
told
what
me
music is in there that they took down? Who was it complained?
It was a letter from YouTube that there was third-party music.
But they didn't say who the publisher was.
They didn't.
And what is the music in that?
Well, what it is a lot of show. I got a lot of show music records, and they're running all through the movie with Gene Roeber narrating over that music.
Wow.
So, you know, we didn't get any copyright stuff. So since Giz Fizz is not posted anywhere, I can do it on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody needs to watch live Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. You're going to do it this Saturday and subsequent Saturdays.
I'm going to start this Saturday. I'm going to show the other two Turner Classic Movie ins and outs that I did, and then the first part of this movie.
Are you allowed to? By the way, I saw you did that the other day, and I thought, oh my God, we're going to get shut down. Are you allowed to show this TCM stuff?
You know, it's not me showing it. Somebody put them on YouTube, and they've been left up there. They're just
That doesn't really get us off the hook. You understand?
But okay. Well,
it's not my fault. It was on YouTube.
Right. No, but the
thing is, we do that all the time. You've seen us do it many a time. We don't care about rights.
But the thing is, also, we don't
post Giz.
We don't post Giz.
Posting it doesn't really have much to do with it either. But
okay.
Right, Ayaz. Ryaz is an intellectual property attorney who's never actually practiced, but he's practicing right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you practicing? The tuba?
Guitar.
So technically, we probably shouldn't be putting this stuff up on our air, even though we don't record it. We don't put it on YouTube.
That's distribution. You probably don't.
Any distribution counts.
Oh, okay.
So just so you know.
Okay, I know, and I will never, ever do it again after the next 5 weeks.
Perfect.
Right. You have my given word.
And if I see a copy of this video in the trial.
Yeah.
Hello, jurors. You know, we're nice guys. We're not trying to make money off of this. We're just having fun.
Absolutely.
Cut that part out, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's so cool. So thank you, Yes Video, for
yes
doing
Video.
That.
So yeah, yesvideo.com, and they also have like 30,000 partners. You can do it through like CVS and Sam's Club, and or you can go directly to the website, yesvideo.com.
Costco, Rite Aid.
And what I also love is that you can buy a DVD for $10, or if you just have them transfer it, they just put it up on the web for you, and you can send people links to the specific videos you want them to be able to see.
That's neat.
So yeah, it's a great service. I'm having a lot of fun pestering friends by sending them links to my videos. Yeah, Costco, CVS, Rite Aid, Sam's, Walmart, Target, and I thank Ebar at Yes Video, who personally said, "Dick, I will personally keep my eye on your films because I know that these are truly irreplaceable." So
the chat room, amazing, as always. They've done a little research.
Oh, okay.
And back in 1965, you could buy a gallon of milk for $1. So basically, he gave you 100 gallons of milk a week extra.
Yeah, and they're still here. You need any?
I love that lumpy lemon-flavored milk. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. Don't tell Myra. Myra keeps saying, "I don't know, is this soda off?" I said, "No, Myra, it's just a dairy mix."
It's good for you.
It's good for you. Yeah.
Wish there were some way we could disseminate this. I mean, I guess you could take the soundtrack off, but you want Gene Rayburn's narration.
Yeah, you do. And there are sound effects of, you know, we dubbed in tap dance. It's an elaborate thing.
Yeah.
To do Busby Berkeley. Ray and I went up on buildings that were next to small buildings so we could put the girls on the little building and I could film from the high building. And finally I said, "Ray, see how much it is to rent a helicopter."
No.
Yeah. And I said, "Tell the guy we just want to go straight up and we want to have..."
People probably don't know what you're talking about, but in the Busby Berkeley musicals, which were very big during the Depression, the dancer, they'd have dancers, and then... the dancers would lie on the floor, and the camera would shoot from above. Probably they were shooting to a mirror it was above, but they'd shoot down, and they'd do kaleidoscope things with their legs.
Exactly. So about two hours later...
So you're trying
later,
to do Ray, this from a helicopter?
Yeah. So Ray comes back and says, "Oh, okay, I got your helicopter." And I said, "God, what was that?" And she said, "It's free." And I said, "It's what?" She said, "The guy at the heliport said, if you're going to lay 12 girls on the ground, and all we have to do is hover over them while you film them, this is so crazy, we're in. Just take as long as you want, as long as we can watch."
Dick, you're a master at getting free crap. You're really good at that. I think this is from Broadway Babies or one of those other...
Oh, yeah. This is a typical bizarre... There are men inside those pianos.
And the romantic lead was always Dick. What was his
Powell.
Last Powell,
Dick
and then
Powell.
Of course Ruby Keeler, who that you were parodying,
yes,
was the was Ruby always Keel. The tap dancing, smart talking gal.
Yeah,
and And then, of course, it always had lots of... There we go. There's a Busby Berkeley kaleidoscope formation.
So you really... If you don't have cameras in the ceiling, you need a helicopter. It's that simple.
This is what passed for entertainment in 1929.
And today, because I still watch these movies. Thank you, Turner Classic Movies.
I grew up watching these. The only reason I know this is I used to... They would run late at night.
Look at this.
I'd get home from work, and late at night, I'd turn on the TV, and I used to watch these like crazy. I love Dick Powell and Ruby Keeler. I love those movies.
Yeah. This is pretty cool, I got to admit.
Awesome. I think this is amoeba under a microscope, but I'm not sure. It's a very talented amoeba.
It's amazing they were able to do this.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of silly. I don't know if you did this in a movie. Well, remember Steve Martin did kind of his version.
Oh yeah, Pennies from Heaven.
Pennies from Heaven. Oh yeah, of a Depression era movie.
Yes.
I don't know how well that did. It was fun. If you've never seen it, it's worth seeing.
Oh yeah, no, it's great.
What the hell? Oh, these are electric violins. I remember that.
Yes,
yeah,
working in neon.
Yeah,
he was
very
a lunatic,
clever.
But the stuff were look at
that. Those are girls. Those are their legs.
Yes.
Now, that's a little bit more than 12 dancers.
I know how to do these shots.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Gold Diggers of 1933. I think that's what this movie is. It just came to me.
Yeah. And my movie is 242nd Street, the low-rent version of 42nd
Holy
Street.
Cow, they got away with murder.
Yes, in those days.
That was before the Hollywood Code. Wow. That's fun. All right, that was, believe it or not, that was gadget number one. Gadget number two.
Okay, so now this is a gadget that has been around for a very long time and has been reinvented endlessly. And the newest version of Snake Light. The light that you can bend around furniture if you're working on the floor, bend around pipes if you're working under the sink. So the newest version of Snake Light is 10 LEDs, but it is now lithium. So once you charge it, you'll get 5 hours of burn time.
So Myra Joyce said that her doctor used this in her last colonoscopy. Is that the case?
If it's this very one, she can take it back home with her. I'm hoping not. Snake Light. And Snake Light was one of those very crazy things. I showed it on Regis, and I loved it. And 3 weeks later, a guy from Black & Decker called me up, and he said, "We're going to introduce Snake Light in London. Would you like to fly over there?
Oh, come on.
Be on the show?" Yeah, what? I'm serious. He said, "No pay, but you'll have a week's vacation in London."
That's pay.
Yeah, I know. I said, "I'll do it." I said, "I'll do it on this condition. I don't want to travel alone. I don't want a first class ticket. Would you swap that for 2 coach tickets?"
Of course, and the guy saves them money.
You're in. Yeah, saved him a ton of money. So I went over with Dennis.
When was this?
1982.
Oh. Yeah. You're reliving.
I live in the past.
Old glories. Okay.
I thought it was last week. Right.
Yeah. Oh, say, 40 years ago you did this. Yeah, oh, right. Okay.
No, people say, what do you do today? And I said, I'm on Twit. And they said, "No, what do you do today?"
In 1982, I went to London on... So this snake is that old?
No, this is the brand. This is like the 15th reincarnation of Snake Light. So this is LED. This is lithium. So you charge it, and it will stay charged for 18 months.
Do you have to wear it around your neck like that?
If you want, you can actually just make it into a little tripod and stand it on its own.
I actually wouldn't mind. This would be useful.
Yeah.
I'm saying that? Because we moved on Friday, and I'm rehooking up all the stereos and all the TVs and stuff. And it's all dark, dim, but it would be nice to be able to look into these dark, dim corners and be able to see what I'm putting where and all that
stuff.
There
you go. Snake Light will do it. Now, Black & Decker put it on their website this weekend. Strangely, on the Black & Decker website, it says suggested retail $29.95.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I saw it on Amazon today for $40.
Whoa.
I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. There you go. $40.26. What I would do is just wait a couple weeks, because as soon as these get widely distributed.
That's out of stock, too. It says, I bet you that was
I know, because they haven't been shipped yet, I think it was. But let me just look here, because if you just type Snakelite in, you're going to get 50 different versions. So if you go to my website, you can find it. This is the 4-volt max rechargeable lithium Snakelite.
$30 is the suggested. No, but they're not selling it either yet, are they?
No, yeah,
it says
add
to wish list. So
exactly.
You are, as always, way ahead of the curve.
Ahead of the curve.
Simultaneously living in 1982 and 2014.
Yeah.
How does he do it?
I can't connect with the present. I either have to, that's my problem. I either have to be in the past or in the future. I don't want to be in the middle.
All right, Dickie D. All right. I think we should go on. But before we do, I'd like to tell a little bit about a little story.
A little story
about a thing that changed my life way back in the year 2000. You remember 2000?
Yesterday. Live in it. Yeah, I'm there now.
That's the future to you.
Yes.
I used to commute, as you well know, to Tech TV from here in Petaluma. I was already living in Petaluma with my family, but Tech TV was in San Francisco. I used to commute. It's on a good day an hour each way, but it was very often more than that. Sometimes I spend 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day on the road. What a nightmare that was. I was about to kill somebody or, and this always scared me, in the afternoon, fall asleep on the way home until I discovered audiobooks from Audible.com. It changed my life. I first started listening to audiobooks from Audible.com in the year 2000. I was using a Diamond Rio 500. Remember that?
Wow. Yes, I do. One of the very first
iPod
MP3 players with the Audible option.
Yes.
You've not slept since then. Is that
no,
correct?
I love it. In fact, this morning I was listening to Audible.com. I was listening to my current book, which is nonfiction. But you can see there's fiction, there's nonfiction, there's history. In fact, if I look at my library, I realize now that I have over 500 books over the last 13 years that I've been listening to Audible.com. So many great books. I just downloaded this. This seems like something you would like. I've just started listening to Difficult Men. Maybe if I read the subtitle, it sounds more interesting. Oh, Difficult Men, it could be a good start. Behind the scenes of a creative revolution from The Sopranos and The Wire to Mad Men and Breaking Bad.
That sounds good.
It's interviews with all of the people who created The Wire, Sopranos, Mad Men, Deadwood, The Shield. Talks about how television was reinvented by David Chase, David Simon, Matthew Weiner, John Hamm, Alan Ball. Really cool. I can't wait. I like this kind of book. Now, that's nonfiction. Of course, there's great fiction, too. Obviously, before I saw Ender's Game, I reread, which I'd read many times, I reread Ender's Game. They have all of the Ender's series on Audible. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to get you one of these for free. If you visit audible.com/gizwiz, you can sign up for the Gold account. That's a subscription that gives you a book a month free. And a daily digest of either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, so you can get smart while you're listening in your car. We understand that, maybe if you've never tried this before, audiobooks might be a little intimidating. That new one on Johnny Carson by his lawyer, Bombastic Bushkin, sounds interesting. You can always listen to a sample at audible.com. So browse around, pick a book, then go to audible.com/gizwiz, sign up. That's 30 days free. Your first book is free. Cancel any time in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. But if you decide to keep it, I think you're in luck. You're going to have an... What is that Fire and Rain book? Is that the story of James Taylor?
Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel, James Taylor.
Oh, it's that whole era.
The Lost Story of 1970.
Oh. So I'll show you what I do, because you see I've used up all my credits on Audible.com. I'm going to add that to my wish list. That's one way you can kind of keep track of... books that you want to listen to. I love Audible. I'm
listening to the audiobook or the autobiography by Nash of Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Oh, and Young. I listened to Keith Richards' book. It's funny because Keith Richards' book is read by, I want to say Johnny Depp. I think it's Johnny Depp. Right up till like the last 5 or 6 chapters, and all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
Johnny
he just
Depp
suddenly
says,
is
and
gone.
Now, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. Mr. Keith Richards. And Richards reads the last 5 chapters.
Holy cow.
It's really great. I mean, I could go on and on. In fact, I think I have. Audible is great. Just go to audible.com/gizwiz. Okay, I'm going to get that.
Yeah, this is fantastic. It's read by Graham Nash.
Oh, he's got that great British accent.
He does, yeah. It's awesome.
There's not enough time in the world, frankly. I spend more time at the gym, more time in the car, just because I want to listen more to my audiobooks. Audible.com/gizwiz. Try it today. All right, gadget number three, Dickie D.
Okay, gadget number three is not unlike Snake Light, but not from Black & Decker. It's from our friends at Quirky. Quirky is the place where if you have an invention, you could go to Quirky.com and register it, and they might be able to get it to the market. They'll ask people to comment on your gadget. You share in the profits. So from Quirky, like Snake Light, in as much as it has a curly base, is what they call prop power.
What?
So this is a way.
What?
I know. So at the bottom of the ladder or wherever you are, you plug one plug into an outlet.
Oh, I'm at the bottom of the ladder, baby.
Yeah. You know what, Leo? After 30 years in show business, you're already on the first rung.
I've climbed to the rung one.
You're on rung one. And that 100-foot ladder is not that tall when you think about it. Right? So it's a way very much like the Snake Light. If you're working under the sink and you have power tools under there, you wrap this around the pipes, and then you have three outlets to work with. This is under $20, and it's called Prop Power. And you can see other weird stuff. There is a guy up on a ladder using it. And Quirky.com has a lot of fun stuff. And also, we'll tell you about the person who invented it, how much money they've made from their invention.
It's a really interesting company.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I went up there once and saw their operation. It's really fun. So it's Prop Power, Quirky.com. And again, you can go there and read about how to market something you have, something you invented.
Ladies and gentlemen, now that Dick has completed his three gadgets, I have way too many gadgets.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at this. I just got this. My new iPhone 5. How do you like it? It's beautiful. It's gold back.
Oh, you got the gold one?
Yeah. Well, no, not exactly. This was $43 from China.
Oh, okay.
Look a little more closely. Let me come on over here. So it's got the it looks like iOS 7.
Well, first of all, iPhone isn't spelled IF.
iPhone. It's got iOS 7 on there. It says slide to unlock.
IOU 7. Look again.
I'm going to slide it. You know, the clock, it looks just like the Apple clock. It's got the world clock and all of that. Go back to the home page. It's got weather, Apple weather. It looks just like the Apple weather and all that. Beijing. This is an Android phone. In fact, I know because I rebooted it accidentally earlier today. And, you know, here's an interesting thing. If you like iOS 7 but you want last year's calendar app, they still have that. These are all Android apps duplicating the iPhone apps.
Oh, how funny.
It has a built-in camera. A fella who works for, what was it? It's ARM. What is the name of his company? ArmDevices.net. Charbex is his name. Nicholas Charbonnier. He goes to Shenzhen, China every month and looks at what's going on out there. And this is from China, $43. But wait, there's more.
How much memory? $43.
You know what? You don't buy this for how much memory it's got. Let me look in the settings. It looks just like the Apple settings. General, about. It's got 8 gigabytes.
Okay.
It's 8 gigs of RAM. Oh, six available.
Your favorite two songs. That's
it says
good.
It's 7.0.3. It's got the latest version of iOS 7 on here. That is the funniest thing in the world. All right, wow. But that's not all. Wait a minute. Look at this. Does this look like a Nokia Lumia 1020, that 41 megapixel phone running the Windows Phone operating system? Sure it does. Android.
And
cheap knockoff. Wow.
Another $43?
Yeah, roughly. All of these phones are between $40 and $50. What blows me away is the attention to detail. They actually make the operating system. There's a Windows logo here. They don't pretend it's Windows. I mean, it doesn't ever, you know, but they make it look just like Windows. And I have to think that they know that the buyer knows he's not getting Windows, but that he wants it to look enough like Windows so that his friends will think he's wealthy enough to be able to afford an iPhone or a Windows phone
iPhone-like phone.
Right. This just came out less than a month ago, the Galaxy Note 3. And this is an exact clone of a Galaxy Note 3, right down to the case with a stitched leather back.
So where did you get all these things?
Again, this is all Nicolas Charbonnier. Charbacks brought these back from China and sold them to me for only $3,000. I was so thrilled. it was such a deal. No, he sold them to me for roughly what he paid for them. I think I threw in a little extra just because I felt bad for him. Yeah. He schlepped these all the way back from China. But I just found this fascinating.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so that's not really a gadget, but I just wanted to show you.
It's great fun, though.
And they'll be talking about those in All About Android tonight. It's really a remarkable feat of software programming. And then I got an email from somebody you may recognize. You ever see this woman?
Oh, my word.
It's Cassandra.
Yes, from the meetup holding Charlie, Cassandra.
Yep. She says she's Charlie's babysitter.
She is. Charlie is a nutcase, except when Cassandra holds him.
Yeah, look how happy he is there.
It's a chokehold he has. Yeah.
Cassandra says, hi, Leo. I believe I heard you say on either the Gizmos or the Tech Guy, but that you wish you had kept your... Well, let's open it up and see.
Okay.
I'm going to pull it out of the box.
Or,
it says, Twitch staff, like do not open until the Gizwiz. It's
no, not
a Sega Dreamcast. My son is going to be so happy about this. We never had, you know, I bought an Xbox. I think that was what replaced it. And we gave this to his cousins. And I remember him like 5 years later saying, can we get that back? I said, they can't. You gave it to Will and Grady. It's a Sega Dreamcast. She says it closes the console. There's a controller, a cartridge. She doesn't know what that's for, and a power cord. She found it in the same flea market as the Polaroid Land camera she sent me. Thank you for that, too, Cassandra, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed. But
have you kept any of your games?
You know, I can find games. That's not going to be so hard. This is the funny thing. These controllers had held memory modules in here.
Oh, my word. Look at those things.
This would you save your... I remember you save your game to the cartridge, right? Mm-hmm. And then it would they'd have a little LCD there. It would show something. Or maybe it would just show what the game was. I don't remember. Is that what it was? Boy, everybody in here knows about Sega's. So there you go. Oh, here's a cartridge. What is it? She said, I don't know what this is. Oh, yeah, this is the cartridge that goes in there. It's got sleep mode A B, so this is so you put that in there and you can and this will be memory for your game, saved game, and then the Dreamcast used discs. So I bet you I could find Dreamcast's games on disc, right? Thank you, Cassandra. She says, since I don't play video games and I don't have any cables to connect to a TV, it wouldn't do me any good. It does power on. Find a good home for it at the Brick House. Well, you've found a good home. I'm just going to set this up for Henry when he comes back for Thanksgiving, and he's just going to go, Sega! Remember that?
Make sure and get Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi! And Sonic
awesome
the Hedgehog. Oh, man. You know, you can get Crazy Taxi now on Android. It's still pretty fun. It's pretty much the same game as on the Sega. So there you go. Thank you, Cassandra, the Sega Dreamcast. What a great gift that is. Christmas came early this year.
Super.
And now I have all these styrofoam peanuts. I don't know what I'm going to do with those.
Eat them.
Are they tasty?
Yeah, they're peanuts, right? I see that look on your face. Okay, spit it out.
Oh, my word. What this man would do for television.
True.
Wow.
They have longevity. I'll say that for them.
Yeah, they're persistent.
I think in an x-ray 6 years from now, the doctor's going to say, what the heck is that? It looks like one of a peanut. A plastic peanut. But that can't be. Who would ever eat a plastic peanut?
Who would do that?
Persistent packaging peanuts.
These are inedible, so they're safe. What you don't want, you don't want to eat the edible ones because they treat those so the rats won't eat them.
Oh, okay.
Ironically, it's the inedible ones that are safe to eat.
Good, very good.
Before we do get Dick's Gadget Warehouse, I want to mention our good buddies, Lynda.com. People often ask me, Leo, are you a moron or an idiot? And I say, no, thanks to Lynda.com, I'm neither. I'm the tech guy. I do have to keep up with technology. It is not easy. New software comes up all the time. And what's great about Lynda is it's the best resource for a professionally produced video in every topic, over 2,000 high-quality online courses, all for one low monthly price. They have software courses, Excel, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, WordPress, QuickBooks, PowerPoint. You can learn business skills, too. I think sometimes people think, oh, it's just Photoshop and things like that. No, you can resume creation. I love the time management course. They've got negotiation courses. And, of course, if you're into photography, some of the best photographers teach. There's Deke McClellan. I love Deke. Many of them have been on our shows. Ben Long, Deke McClellan. Of course, Burt Monroy has a new one, Pixel Playground. He has a show up there that's just fabulous. There's Deke. QuickBooks for Mac just came out. JavaScript for web designers. Yeah, you can learn programming, too. In fact, they've got a new one that I think would be great for the kids, teaching kids programming with PHP. How about that? Wouldn't you like your kid to be a wizard, a genius of web programming, so he can support you? See that picture? That's Lynda, Lynda Wyman. I've known Lynda since the Screensavers days. She's really the best teacher ever and brought together some of my favorite people to teach these courses. Easy to follow videos. The transcripts are there of everything, so you can search the transcript to jump right to the part of the video you're looking for. Bookmarks, playlists. Of course, you can watch on a computer, a tablet, a mobile device. The production is great. You can even pay for the work materials. So if you're learning Photoshop, you can get all the course files and work along with Bert and the others. $25 a month for access to the entire library, $37.50 a month to get the premium plan that includes all those exercise files. But you can try Lynda.com right now for free for 7 days. Visit lynda.com/gizwiz. The entire library is yours for 7 days. Look at all this stuff. Lynda, lynda.com/gizwiz. Give it a try today. It really is great. We a lot of times our editors need to get brushed up on Final Cut. For instance, actually, we're moving to Premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I think now's the time to get you all doing those Premiere courses. And then I'm going to do a course on how to eat styrofoam peanuts. I'm going to call
gonna
it
be big, Leo. That
peanuts
is going to be big
without pain.
Might, first, might not be in there yet, how. But you could make that course.
Oh yeah. I know everything there is to know now. Lynda.com/gizwiz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I invite you. I know it's a little chilly, so get your park on, get your fur on. Not real fur, of course, only synthetic fur. Get
Thank
your
you.
Uggs boots on. Those have real sheep inside. That keeps you warm. Get your long johns on, get your denims on, get your chaps, your boots, your silver, your studs, get your bolo on, get your cowboy hat on, and head on out, because we're going to go round up some old-time gadgets at Dick's Gadget Warehouse. Yee-haw!
They're geeky and they're goofy. Together they are loopy. When gadgets pass away,
ha-ha,
he takes them out to play.
Ha-ha.
In Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow.
That little
How you
old gadget
put that
guy.
On and off so fast. Amazing.
Himself. Dick DeBartolo.
And Leo. So yeah. We have something unusual today. We have another viewer's video.
We never have anything unusual on this show.
No, this is good. This is
okay.
Good. So we've never shown a second. Well, we have shown a second video from a person. We've never shown a third video from the same person.
This is a first.
And when this video came in, I thought, oh, come on, three videos. Give me a break here. And then I watched the video and I thought, this is the most bizarre gadget. All I'll tell you is it's portable audio. And Stephen Rabjohn will explain the rest in this video.
Hi, Dick and Leo. This is Steve from Toronto, Canada, with another gadget from my gadget warehouse. Actually, this is more of a gadget museum piece. We've got portable audio players from years ago, and they've all been very popular. Mostly small size, very portable, lightweight, and they include their own batteries or power supply.
Mm-hmm.
However, all of these devices, as quaint and old they may seem, owe their existence to this particular unit.
What?
This is
Edison
amazing.
Edison Gem Phonograph.
Wow.
This was, at the time, the latest and greatest of technology. The smallest, lightest weight, most portable.
Where does he get
audio
this crap? Holy cow!
I know! Your portable music system.
One of the old phonographs.
People wanted to take their records on the road since
1899. Cost around $20 at the time, which may not seem much now, but in today's currency would be over $500. Now, for
and he has cylinders.
People who spend that wow. kind of money on basically an entertainment device would be unheard of. Only the most elite of people could afford such luxury.
It's a Gatsby-esque device.
Yeah.
But this would, indeed, be taken out to a picnic, set up, and can still be played. Unfortunately, I never received the original key for this, so I use a small screwdriver here.
This is the gem, the Edison Gem portable music player.
A spring inside the internal power supply. And when I release it,
Mama, Papa Butty. Oh no. Yesterday. Wow. And now, we're going to play the tuba for you.
It's already out of power.
Keep cranking and we'll keep going.
The spring is wearing down a little bit, but it still does play.
Wow.
It's about 10 pounds, which is a little bit heavier than your more
and only Bluetooth
technology.
One, unfortunately.
Yes.
The cylinders.
And it was USA, not the
not quite as affordable as even the old audio tapes were. But again, at the time, very popular, very high technology. Very new for its time, and a predecessor for recording devices down the road. Why would I keep this? I think it's kind of obvious. This is a very historical piece. As an old audiophile, I can appreciate fine audio equipment. And this is an item for my gadget museum. This is Steve from Toronto, Canada. Bye for now.
Wow, that is amazing.
Boy, that would almost be like in the Smithsonian. I had no idea that there was a portable cylinder system.
Well, people have wanted portable for a long time. You know, the name Motorola
yes.
comes, you know where that comes from? It was
it was Edison's mother's name.
The first Motorola was a Victrola. For your car, for your motor car, Motorola.
Really?
They sold record players that would go in your car. I think I've got a video.
Okay, this is the little ARC record player for an automobile. Go great with your 1960s car. Right now, I wanted to show that I've fixed this up so it can be played in...
so you'd literally, because records, remember records were the only way, you know, after cylinders, were the only way people could play music. This was predates radios.
What?
So
is
this
that Steve
guy,
Wozniak talking?
So this is a...
Huh?
Was that Steve Wozniak talking?
It sounds like it, but I don't think so. It's,
oh, okay.
Looks like his butt, though, I might be mistaken. So this one's actually more recent. I think they go back to the 40s, even. The first... car audio was a Motorola record player. How about that, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand how that could work when you were bouncing along in those crappy car springs.
Now, this is a call for help episode with one of the very similar.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, there it is. The Victrola device. This was Chris Perillo.
Particular one in the world.
Oh, and that's Thomas Edison's son.
Yeah, Johnny. Johnny Edison.
Johnny Edison.
His hands
Jr.
are kind of shaky. I think he was nervous.
Much more accurately, but
are you kidding me?
Shit.
I like how he goes. Oh, And then there's a different expletive.
Oh, my gosh.
That, by the way, was planned.
Is it a joke?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, all right. Don't feel okay. Too bad.
No.
Thanks, wow. Web3836, for the link to that.
That's when we fired Chris Perillo and I took the show back.
Oh, okay. And,
actually, that's probably the single most remembered moment from Tech TV was that moment right there. That, certainly the one that I hear about.
Me. Oh, my God. I felt
yeah.
so bad.
That, I think that was during one of the first Call for Help-a-thons. We remember the day after Christmas, we'd do a 24-hour show.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
We're doing that again, you know, New Year's Eve.
No, Lisa said it's going to be slightly different, Leo. It's 24 seconds.
Yeah, that's about all I can do to stay up. We are going to start at 4 a.m. our time, 4 a.m. Pacific on New Year's Eve.
Word.
Day, right? The morning of New Year's Eve. Yeah, and then we'll continue through 4 a.m. New Year's Day, because that's when, I guess, Hawaii or whatever the westernmost time zone is celebrating. And we're going to do countdowns every hour.
Wow, it's going to be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll join us at some point.
Yeah.
You could do the New York countdown.
I can.
New York, New Year's Eve. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. So what was his name again? That's the third video. I have to send another box of crap to this guy.
Steve,
can I just send you a bunch of crap and just we'll take it as done? Give him some peanuts.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
Steve, nice job. What?
We still we're looking for videos. So, like Steve, send us a video. I bought a piece of crap. I invented this. My Gadget Warehouse. We love those 2 to 3 minutes. My favorite gadget of all time. Just post it on YouTube. Send Jason the link. Gizwiz@twit.tv. Hopefully, it'll get on the show. And not only will you get fame and fortune, you will also get a piece of crap in return.
Jeff Needles is telling me.
Oh, Jeff Needles.
Don't you have to go to school at any point at all in this college education?
No.
He's apparently watching. He says, we only do the first box of crap. After that, all bets are off.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
One box of crap per customer.
And we haven't had any crap on lately that we can give away.
I know. We've run out.
So we've run out. I'm not sure what we send out at this point.
That's why they keep saying, Dick, send us more autographed mail.
Actually, after we've used these a lot, we can send out these phones to people. Why not?
Oh, and warn them not to put any of their personal data.
Whatever you do, unless you want the Chinese military to know what you're up to, I would not carry it around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or take it to an airport.
Yeah. So it's official. Who would have thunk it after all this time? But we're out of crap.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, maybe we should just stop offering crap.
No more crap.
No more crap.
We do have, however,
just sent them a med and
yeah, we've got we have autographed crap.
We can send them
up the wazoo,
broken mugs, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, okay, good.
And I think it's time for a letter.
Really well done jingle.
You know, half of it's actually Michael Jackson, and half of it is Dan Luters. So Dan mixed in actual Michael Jackson.
Okay, I was going to say
that's why it sounds so good. Yes.
Oh,
I was
going to
say if that was a riff.
On this just in from Jeff Needles.
yes.
Apparently, there is more crap. I just haven't done it.
Oh, okay. So he has stuff that he hasn't released to the staff to release to you.
Actually worse than the stuff we've shown.
All right.
Stuff, such crap.
So bad I won't even do it.
Won't even make it onto
the
show.
Oreo dippers.
Wow. Wow. So that's why he's announcing it from afar.
Leo, there's more. There's more. No, they're not.
He didn't want to be in the studio
I'm not doing it. But I do want to tell you, speaking of crap, that my toilet arrives on Friday.
Well, you must be really dying to go bad by now. It's like a week late, isn't it?
It's about time. But I think, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I do think that I am going to submit a video to the Gizwiz.
Okay, we can check the travels of the peanut.
Look, there it is. Oh, there it goes.
There it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good.
I used to have blue eyes. You know that?
You what?
I used to have blue eyes.
So, really?
Yeah, I'll let you figure that out.
Okay.
Let us
okay.
get that letter.
Our letter is from PJ, who is MVIN in the chat room. The subject is something... I'll just read it. Something for Leo's balls. Hi, Dick and Leo. I love the show. It shows me what crap to talk my mom and grandma out of buying. I saw this in the new PC World issue. I thought it might help Leo out by keeping his ball still. Here's the link for the
Oh, yeah. Item. I had trouble on that treadmill keeping my ball still.
Yeah, you... Yes, you...
They I kept, thought if I greased kept, it up... You know, was, yeah, I coated but, my balls with... like canola oil, it would work better. But does he have a better solution?
Here's a better solution. Jason, do you have the link to PJ's?
Now, you know, why do people keep sending me this? Stop
this
it.
This is...
I have never received... This is the one thing... They think, because I set it on a ball, that I want something that will keep the ball from rolling. That defeats... This
oh, yes, I know.
Back.
Oh, okay. I just saw the kit. Now I
yeah,
see what it
so
is.
Yeah, so what this is a chair that you put the ball in. But the whole point of the ball is that it can go places. Why are you sitting on the ball now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That your back is supported. The ball's not rolling. Basically, you got a cushy chair.
You
so
do.
The
you
reason
do.
I okay. I sit on a ball is because you have to sit upright because you have to support your back. Your thighs are working to keep you from rolling away. This is the point of sitting on a ball. And I don't know why, but there is a big market in ball holders for people who don't want their balls to be free. And I
okay.
set your balls yeah. free.
I think balls deserve to roll.
And, you know what? This
and
is
it
the
doesn't
next
make
t-shirt.
Sense to spend a lot of money free. On something to hold your balls when you could do it yourself.
That's a very valid point in a strange, very weird way. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Okay.
I don't need any kind of ball supporter.
Okay, you don't need a ball herder. You don't need anything.
Nothing.
A ball constrictor.
Nothing. I support my balls by myself.
Okay,
and
okay.
it's good for your core.
Yeah, I think if you really were into this seriously, you should start standing on the ball when you do the giz whiz.
I'm working my way up to that.
Oh yeah, okay, because that would be good. I would like that.
Think that everybody should stand on their balls.
Yeah, I think you should stand on it, and we'll just crank the camera.
See what happens.
See what happens. Anyway, it is November, Leo, so it is a new what the heck is it?
Are you going to grow a mustache for Movember?
What do you think this is?
You know, this is the month, traditionally. It started in Australia, but that's nice. It's very attractive. It's a snake stash. This is the month that in traditionally men grow mustaches in the month of Movember support. I think it's actually to speaking of balls to support the testicular cancer research. I believe is what it is.
Really?
So nothing to laugh about.
No.
It's a serious subject, but. Movember, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you no, could. I don't know what people without mustaches do in Movember. Maybe you shave
I've
it
done
off.
My part.
You've done your part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Movember.com. And I'm saying Mo intentionally with an M. That's how you say it. Growing mustaches is our business, and business is good. This has become a big deal.
Yeah, I would only ever grow tiny little patches on my face, and I've never once tested what it would look like if I actually spent a month growing out my hair.
One of these years,
I'm going to do it.
I started doing it. Oh, it's also prostate cancer. That's good. So mentally healthy, living beyond mental illness, awareness, education, living and with and beyond cancer, and the prostate research. So it's all men's issues, support. Programs for men's health. That's it. I grew one last year and was so itchy I gave up after a day. That's probably not.
No, I've been growing mine for about 15 years now.
Do you remember the You win.
Yeah. I said, Dennis, Do you think I should trim this for the show?
Believe it or not, folks, that's coming out of his nose.
Yeah.
That's not...
I feel ashamed, Dick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, you've eclipsed me entirely.
Yeah, no.
Do you know about Whiskerino?
No.
Yeah, we have in Petaluma... We have a Whiskerino. It's a competition, a men's facial hair competition.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
That town has everything. Ugliest dog and now Whiskerino.
Yeah. They all gather in the park to compare whiskers.
Oh, yeah. And then you have the legs and butter parade.
Legs and butter. There's nothing like that. PetalumaWhiskerino.com. It's the... Oh, now they're going to do it at the Phoenix... Oh, it's over. I missed it. It was last month at the Phoenix Theater.
Oh, that's right across the street, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what happened to Liz, but apparently she's in on the whole thing, too.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
I think that's a mustache piercing.
I think it is.
I want a mustache.
Here.
Here, she says. There's a box of them right
there.
Yeah,
here. Okay, just come and get your mustache. It's
all
cool.
All right. Oh, you know what? Maybe they're
yours.
Maybe I could wear one. That's pretty cool. Let's see.
Everybody's doing it.
There's the Hollywood, the hero, the bruiser, the weasel, the sheriff, the square, and like Grandpa. I think this must be Grandpa's mustache. Do you peel the backing off the mustache?
Yes.
For those of you listening at home, you should be grateful. Yeah, that you're not watching.
I bought several dozen of these to the meetup. That's why everybody had them on.
You did?
Yeah.
What a good idea. But they should have all been Dickie D's. They don't have a Dickie D version.
No, they do not. It's copyrighted.
What is yours? Is that a hand? What is that called? Is there a name for what you've got on your face?
Droopy. I just call it Droopy.
Droopy.
No.
I think it's very distinguished.
Yeah, striking.
That is very distinguished.
Hello.
I say good day, sir.
Does your dog bite?
It's kind of tickling.
Yeah.
My nose.
Well, I like the look, though.
Is it normal? You just get used to that? I don't know if I'd really want to get you. So does yours? Maybe if I put it lower.
No, there you go.
Much better. Much better. We all thought we are now concluding this edition of the GizWiz program. Do you have anything to say for yourself, sir?
Yes, there's a brand new What the Heck Is It game, the November game. So guess what that is? If you really know what it is, 12 meds. If you don't, a stupid, silly answer is better. We give away 24 meds. And if you're like Jeff Harper, who lives outside of the U.S., you get a shout-out. So Jeff Harper did guess what the old contest was. It was a Pringles container.
That's the wildest thing. So you could put your chips in there.
Yes, put Pringles in it, throw it in your lunchbox. Because the Pringles, you know, they're like reconstituted potatoes, and they really fall apart quickly. So the Pringles container.
Begs the question, why? You want perfect Pringles. Is that the point?
Yeah, you do. You want perfect Pringles. As a man who eats Styrofoam peanuts, I don't think you should be complaining about the Pringles.
Well, that's
carry.
The beauty of Styrofoam peanuts, don't you know? They never get soggy.
Oh, that's true.
So that was perfect.
Perfect.
Styrofoam peanuts. I think I found a new career. I think this mustache is turning me into a circus ringmaster. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we say now goodbye to our good friend, Richard DiBartolo. And we invite him to show up again on Saturday for the Giz Fizz.
I'll be here, ringmaster.
Pip, pip, cheerio, ta-ta.